elsewhere?
We were warned by IS itself that they were going to infiltrate the refugee stream coming from Syria. They told us that for every 1,000 there would be a violent jihadist, there would be a fighter amongst them. And yet we have done nothing to check who is coming across into Europe. Surely that's got to stop.
Well, I think now again there'll be increased examination and vigilance.
But we're very good at closing
people.
The door, aren't we?
After I entirely agree.
After the horse has bolted, this horse has bolted. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of these people in our midst across Europe, and now we're going, oh, we should have closed the door. They told us they were going to do this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I think a lot of the action is characterised by a reaction every time there's an event. If you look at what happened in terms of the long-term prevention of this grooming that goes on with young people, basically, we took our eye off the ball, the government took its eye off the ball, and then we had the killing of Lee Rigby. And then suddenly we had a counter-extremism task force, rightly set up by the Prime Minister. But these things will not be solved by simply reacting to events. You've got to have a long-term strategy. The Prime Minister himself has said that this is a generational challenge. Well, let's make sure that we're tackling it on every front. The immediate security challenge, migration, and the prevent.
Does that front include attacking Syria? Because I've seen in one of the papers, the Independent, say Labour's opposition to any British involvement in military action against Islamic State in Syria intensified last night, despite the massacre in Paris. So every front apart from a war front.
Well, obviously there is concern that simply going out with airstrikes on our own is not going to resolve this problem long term, and it isn't. Having said that, if you have a coalition, not just of America and the UK, because I don't think that works either, but if you have a coalition of countries across the world, and in fact the countries of the Middle East, then I think an impact can be made militarily, and I think there's a strong argument for it. But there's also a strong argument for making sure that we're in talks and we're looking to a long-term diplomatic solution of this. So these
diplomacy with IS. Well, are you sure?
I don't think you can negotiate with IS. Not for one minute. These people want to impose a medieval caliphate across the world, and they want to have the kind of brutality that we've seen.
So who are we being diplomatic with
them? But in terms of getting rid of Assad, who's actually had chemical weapons against his own country, that has created an atmosphere in which the extremist message is very seductive. So you've got to aim at those causes. And I think that now you've got to have a complex series of actions across all of these fronts. It's not simply airstrikes. It's not simply more police on the streets with more guns. It's also about getting to the causes of what's going on. Otherwise, we will not stop this pipeline, and this will be a problem with us for generations to come.
So as and when there is a vote on whether we should assist in bombing in Syria, which way would you go?
Well, I'm no longer an MP. So
no, but I'm asking, that's why I'm saying, which way would you go?
What I would be looking for from the government is not simply military action in isolation. I would also be looking for an absolute commitment with other countries. One of the problems in the past has been that the United Kingdom has been out there isolated or simply with America, and this has got to be a much broader based coalition than that.
Now, will our police and security now have to be more visible in terms of stop and search on our streets?
Well, stop and search is, in my view, I was the police minister, it's a valuable tool, but again, it's not going to solve the whole problem. People who are talking about having routine arming of the police, I don't agree with that. I never have. I think part of the best way of getting intelligence on these matters is for the police to be out doing proper...
But thank goodness the Parisian police were armed, otherwise nearly everybody in that concert would have been shot. We'd have had to have waited for SO19 to turn up.
Well, and we have procedures in place to be able to get armed police who are incredibly well trained to scenes very, very quickly indeed. But do we want to be in a position where, because we haven't got intelligence on the streets, we're not able to prevent the plots? The police and security agencies in this country, because they've got that intelligence, working with communities, have been able to thwart, a dozen plots in the last 18 months or so.
But we've been lucky, Hazel. This is the thing. We've been fortunate. We've been lucky. We're relying on that intelligence instead of saying you will be protected if something happens on your street.
Well, I don't think it's just a matter of luck. It's about painstaking intelligence work, being able to monitor and intercept their conversations right across the internet, being able to intervene at the right time. That's not luck. And there's no point sending the commandos in after it's happened. What you want to do is to be able to nip it in the bud. And I don't think having routinely armed police on the streets of the United Kingdom
We do have a problem in this country with radicals in the Islamic faith. How do we combat that? How do we not just be nice and lovely and fluffy about it, but what do we do about it? Physically.
Well, we do have a problem, and that problem's been growing over the last decade or so. And we've allowed, in many cases in the past, the people who preach hate on our streets to go unchallenged. I'm delighted that that is now changing. The government's counter-extremism strategy, which the Home Secretary published recently, is absolutely about tackling the ideology. I've been banging on about this for the last few years, because unless you tackle that narrative that says, isn't it great to live in a caliphate with Sharia law and this kind of medieval approach, you've got to expose that for what it is, actually. And these people
who exposes
our
it?
Values. Well, everybody's got to do it. It's not just simply a job for government. We've got to empower those decent, moderate Muslims in our community, particularly the women. There's a lot of brave women out there who are prepared to stand up and be counted. We've got to work on what is a modern view of Islam. These people are justifying what they do by a perverted view of this faith, and that has got to be tackled and exposed as well. This is long-term work. It needs to be cross-party. It's not a matter of party politics, and we need to all commit to it and to put the resources behind it for years to come if we're going to defeat this wicked ideology.
Hazel Blears, thank you very much indeed. Hazel Blears was counter-terrorism minister during the 7th of July terrorist attacks in London. Give us a call.